Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. I thought that I had a different message for this morning. And we got home late last night, and I got up this morning, and the Lord gave me something different. So I would appreciate your prayers very much. The Lord will help me to get it out. I'd like to talk about the word Hosanna. This is what we recognize as Palm Sunday. And it refers to an event that took place 1 week before Jesus' resurrection. And so next weekend is Easter Sunday. So we have in the Christian world commemorates those 2 days. And I don't really feel under any particular obligation to preach about those events just because that's the days of the year that they are. But the Lord inspired me with some thoughts about it. So I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 21st chapter. We'll read the story of what happened here. Matthew 21 and the first verse. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Looked up the word Hosanna, and I've actually heard this talked about before, but I looked it up again. And the word Hosanna means save us, save Lord. We beseech thee. And so they were crying this out. So it's not just, they were praising the Lord. And we've already heard about that in the Sunday school this morning. And they were saying, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so they were doing 2 things. They were praising the Lord, and they were blessing him. In a nutshell, I believe that they were offering the most heartfelt praise to God for sending a Savior to them. You know what makes you really appreciate a Savior? When you know how much you need Him. And I believe that these people, maybe they didn't realize it to the fullest, but the word that they were crying out is a word that's very potent. It's Hosanna, save Lord, we beseech thee. You're our Savior. If you don't come and save us, we don't have any other way of being saved. Saved from what? You know, I'd like to delve into that just a little bit this morning. If you think about who Jesus really, who he came to, who he was around, it was not, he came for the whole world. We know that. But he was born right there King of the Jews. He was born, he came to the Jews. The Jews were a people that were very, at the time that Jesus came, one of the biggest problems was that they were so proud. They were so self-sufficient. They thought that they had a monopoly on God's presence, on the knowledge of God. They felt like they were the only people. And you know what? They were God's. They were God's chosen people. And God said, "This is where I'm going to put my name, here in Jerusalem." And He spoke to them. But the people themselves got lifted up to the point where they didn't have any regard for anyone else. They thought that they were it. When Jesus came, He had a really the people, the rulers, had a really hard time understanding what Jesus brought, because they felt like that they already had everything. They felt like that they were the pinnacle of understanding and wisdom and the knowledge of God, and they didn't really feel the need. I don't believe that the rulers and the ones that ended up crucifying Him, I think that a lot of those were not the ones that were crying Hosanna. But He came in a very poor way, Jesus did. And I'd like to go to Matthew 11 and read about what Jesus said, how He came. And I'd like to observe, before we go there, let's go back to the fifth verse of Matthew 21. So let's not turn to Matthew 11 quite yet. Matthew 21, it says, "Tell you the daughter of Zion." This is a prophecy in the Old Testament, and I don't remember exactly where it is, but it says, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." Now, the King James here does not translate it quite correctly, but what it means is, he's riding upon a donkey, even a colt of a donkey. He wasn't riding both of them at the same time. That wouldn't be even possible, but he didn't ride one and then ride the other, take turns doing it. But he got on this colt, and I don't really understand why the mother was there, the mother colt, or the mother of the colt was there. I don't know if it was so that if Jesus used it in a practical way so that the colt would not be frightened and the mother would lead her, or if there was something in there that I don't understand. But the Lord, the Jews were looking for a leader that would do several things for them. They were looking for someone that would give them legitimacy in the eyes of the rest of the world. They felt like that they were at the pinnacle of civilization. They felt like they had all of the understanding. They felt like that they were the entitled ones, the supreme people of the earth. Their idea of a king was somebody that was going to come and be a military leader that would overthrow the Romans that were oppressing them. And then they would be in control. They would be able to do anything they wanted to do. A great military leader. I wonder if they kind of imagined him coming and riding on a fine stallion and being real powerful. Maybe even in a chariot, maybe with a big coat of golden armor, and I don't know how they depicted him. I wonder if some of the scribes that were teaching the children that were coming up under him, I wonder if they would draw pictures and say, "This is the Messiah that we're waiting for," and they drew him on a fine horse and lots of trappings and trimmings and a spear and all that, almost like a Goliath-like figure. But that's not how Jesus came. The scripture says he comes to you meek. And he's going to ride into the city, But he's not even going to do it on a grown horse. He's going to ride on a colt, which actually, in a way, that would almost look humiliating. And think of the way that he was born. He was born in a manger. You know what a manger is? It's a cow's feed trough. It's what they put the straw in for the cows. And that's what he was born in a stable. And you know that God could have sent him to any family to be born, the wealthiest, most powerful family. But he sent Jesus to the family of a Jewish carpenter that was too poor to offer the correct offering, a lamb, or instead he, or maybe it was a bull, I forget, but instead he offered the poor offering, where it says if you be too poor to bring this, then bring this. They brought two young pigeons, so they were a very poor family. And that's, you know, why Jesus did it like that. And then when he came, you know that God could have sent the angels to anybody and said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to men. Why didn't he come to the powerful families in Jerusalem? Why didn't he come to the rulers of the synagogue? He came to the shepherds. People that probably didn't even understand all the prophecies. People, they might not have even known how to read. But he came to them. And so Jesus, when he was talking to the people in Matthew 11 and 28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You know, that's not the language that those people wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear any more about a yoke. They were already under a yoke. They were under a yoke of Roman oppression, and they hated it. They hated the Romans. They hated the Jewish tax collectors that had made a league with the Romans. They hated anybody that had anything to do with the Romans. And they hated the yoke that they were under. And Jesus, instead of saying, I'm going to break all your yokes, instead, he said, you know what? You're under a heavy yoke, but it's not the yoke that you're thinking. You're under a yoke of sin. You're under a yoke that's heavy and you can't bear it. And I came to break that yoke off of you. And I came to shine my light down into your heart. And I came to give you peace inside. And he said, I want you to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I have some thoughts this morning that seem to be a little disjointed, but my prayer is that the Lord will help us to get something good out of this. Save, Lord, we beseech thee. There's a scripture that says, all we, it's in Isaiah 53, we won't turn there, but it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I used to think, you know, when I was growing up, I thought, you know, I'm not really a bad kid. And I wasn't in some ways. I remember when I was really little, I stole a Lego piece that one of my friends had. And I wanted it, and so I put it in my pocket. And I had to make that right, but that's the only thing that I ever remember really just out and out stealing. And there were things that I didn't like to tell. There were times when I was shady and with my words and I said things that were not honest. And I guess I thought that was better. But I never would really just say something that was a direct lie, even when I wasn't a Christian. And so I thought, I'm not really a bad person. And I would think, when I was back talking to my parents and all that, I thought, well, it's not because I want to do bad things. It's that I've got something in mind I want to do, and they're mean for not letting me do it. And so I felt kind of justified in arguing with them about it. But this scripture doesn't say you have deliberately rebelled against God. You've looked at what the Lord wanted you to do, and you've said, I'm going to trample that in the mud. I'm going to do exactly the opposite. It says, we have turned everyone to his own way. And that's what will get us into trouble. That's what puts the heavy yoke on us. And every one of us is born with the propensity to do that. We're going to do that. It's something that we can't help doing as unregenerated people. We do things, and our way is always going to get us into trouble. And Jesus said, my yoke, I want you to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so today, part of my burden is that we realize our need of a Savior. You need the Lord. You need the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. You need the Lord if you're not saved. I don't know if you're saved this morning or not. I don't always know who I'm preaching to and what the situations are. But you need the Lord. I need the Lord. I need the Lord to save, because there is none other. I think about the song, and I want to talk about the Lord as being a rock a little bit this morning. The song says, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. And then it says, all other ground is sinking sand. All of it. And then it repeats it. All other ground is sinking sand. So let's read a few scriptures about that, about the rock. And Jesus said to build on him. And I'd like to tell you this morning, as part of my burden, if your burden in life, if it's a bondage, if it's heavy, then you are not building correctly on the rock. I've known people before that have said, I've tried to live saved, tried to be a Christian, and it's harder than just doing my own thing. Jesus said that if we are not building on Him, our burdens are heavy. And He said His burden is light. And we have a song in our book, it's number 207, and it said, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. And then it says, I found it so. And I can tell you, first person this morning, I found it so. God's burden is easy. Jesus' yoke is easy and His burden is light. I found it so. If you become a Christian and you endeavor to live for the Lord, and you find that your burdens have increased and that it's harder to bear, then there's something better for you. The Lord's burden is light. It's easy. It's the way of our own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That way is bad. It's very hard. It's difficult. It's hard in our mind. It brings unpleasant results. It makes a mess out of our life. But the Lord wants us to humble ourselves and put ourselves under his yoke, because his burden is light. You're going to have a burden of some sort. I'd like to go to some scriptures where he talked about the rock. In Matthew 7 and 21, let's turn there. I've got a few verses I'd like to read there. Matthew 7 and 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Now that's how Matthew says it, but Luke had added a few more details. Luke says in 6 and 48 of Luke, "He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock." Remember what they said to Jesus? "Hosanna, save Lord, we beseech thee." The reason they said that is because they knew, these people knew, that it was the only way for them to be saved. They weren't looking in any other place. And so they were following him. He said, "He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock." There are companies that build, or that their business is to send down piers till you hit rock. There was a big hotel a while back in, I think it was out in Nevada somewhere, and they were having major foundation issues. And this company came in, and the rock, the bed, they had soil, you know, but the rock, the bedrock was way down in the ground, like 60 feet or something underground. And this company devised a way to send down with great pressure. They sent down these rods, big thick rods, and they went down until they hit rock. And my uncle was talking about this, Uncle Philip Gellenbeck. And I heard him tell about this. He asked this company, "What do y'all do if you don't hit rock? You know, you send this stuff down. What do you do if you can't hit rock?" And they said, "We hit rock. If you go down far enough, if you dig deep enough, you hit rock. But you've got to keep digging and sending it down." You know, the Lord, I believe that the Lord has, if we can understand how solid that the rock is, it's our Savior. If we build on it, we have a lot of instability in the world. We talked a couple weeks ago about truth and how it's at such a premium today. And you have ideas. I mean, you have ideas about, there's debates about how many genders there are and whether or not the world is round and what's good for you to eat and all this kind of stuff. You know that if you build your life on the rock, on Jesus Christ, that there will be a stability there, that he will help you to understand the things that you need to know. He's going to reveal truth to you where you can be just as solid as that rock is, because that's what you're building on. It's not that you're going to know everything. You're not going to have all the understanding, but you're going to know what you need to know. And when people come to you and say, "What about this?" the Lord will bring to your remembrance things that you can say. And say, "You know what?" And you might even have to say, "You know what? I don't know about this and this, but here's what I know." And the Lord has promised to give us the things that we need to be able to be solid and stable in our own minds and be able to communicate to others what we need to perform our mission towards them. So Jesus said, "Whoever heareth these sayings..." Well, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. And when I first wrote these scriptures down this morning, I just selected these ones where it starts and says, therefore. But you know what? Therefore is always a conclusion. It means that there's something else that caused me to say what I'm saying now. And so he said, so I went back to where he started here. He said, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So that helps me to know that remember what we were talking about this morning in the Sunday school? We were talking about praising the Lord. There is a red flag that I get in my mind. It bothers me, some of the great praise and worship things that are in the world today. Because a lot of it, there's so much emotion. And there's so much... And I'll tell you what can happen. Well, it's really easy to happen. People that are utterly sinful, that live wicked lives, can come into those places and get caught up in the emotion and give forth all this praise, and then they go back home and live the same way that they were living before. The way that we build on the Lord, the way that we praise the Lord, the way that we glorify the Lord is by doing the things that He says. Things that He's revealed to us in our lives. Things that the Word of God calls out. Principles. The Lord wants us to do those things. And He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Or in other words, not everybody that says, I'm a follower of Jesus, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And in Luke it says, he digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And we won't turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 3, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of things that we can try to build on that are not the rock this morning. We can go back to, we can say, well, I'm going to figure out what the church teaches. And I'm going to pattern my life. I'm going to pattern my life exactly like the pastor. And that's how I'm going to. Do you know that you're not going to get very far if you do that? Because that's not the rock. You can say, well, I believe that I am a clear thinker. And so I'm going to rely on my reasoning. Because I'm a really smart person, and I'm going to reason this out. And you know, I don't know of anybody that would actually say this, but we do these things, or we tend to do them as humans, and we say, you know what, if I don't see that, if that doesn't make sense to me, well then forget it. My opinion, you know, that's not the rock either. The Lord wants us to dig deep. He wants us to go and get, this is why prayer is so important. We need to get in our closets every day. Not your literal closet, but your place of prayer. Just you and the Lord. And say, Lord, I'm not anything without you. Lord, you have Hosanna. I mean, that's what they were saying. Lord, I need you. I need you for everything. I can't breathe without you. I can't figure out truth without you. I can't live without you. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do today? Lord, how do you want me to live around others today? Lord, who can I tell about you today? And then listen for what the Lord will say to you. There's a really interesting scripture that came to me as I was studying this morning. And it's in 1 Corinthians 10. I did a little research about it. 1 Corinthians 10 and 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. This is talking about the children of Israel, when they went through the Red Sea, it says that all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So I started researching a little bit about that rock. You remember the story. Real familiar Bible story. The children of Israel came to Moses and they started complaining. They said, "We don't have anything to drink out here. We're going to die. Why'd you bring us out here to die?" And God in His mercy told Moses, "I want you to take your rod and hit this big rock." And so Moses did that. And when he did, the water gushed out of the rock and became rivers and streams. And there was so much of it that the water that came out of that rock was able to feed or give water to all the people, to all their animals. I don't know how it all worked. I guess probably they got their water for the people right up next to the rock and then led the animals downstream of that. And I don't know how they figured it out, but there was enough water for all of them. But you know what happened? They kept moving around and they were in the wilderness. They would go from one place to another. So the water from the rock is only good while you're at the rock, right? But this scripture says the rock followed them, and I thought, well, what's that mean? And so I started doing a little research about it. And the ancient writers are actually divided, but there's two different opinions about it. There's a group of them. One group says that the rock that God, with the pillar of cloud and fire, He actually moved that rock. This great big rock. One of the commentators, Adam Clark, said that he knew what that rock looked like. They had drawn drawings of it. It was back when they didn't really take pictures, but they had drawings of it, I think. And Adam Clark actually had a piece of it that a relative of it, he has broke off and probably couldn't do that now and brought it to him. And so he studied it. He said there were fissures and cracks and holes all through this big rock that was out in the desert. I don't know. I didn't do enough. I don't know where that rock is today, but it was supposedly discovered and they knew about it back in the 1800s. But some of them said that rock actually moved with them and gave water. And then another group of people said, no, the rock actually stayed there, but the rivers from it, everywhere they went, that the rivers from that rock stayed with them. So either way, they continued to get water from it. And I was just thinking about Jesus and who He is. He's the rock that we build on, that we dig deep and we build it. When they send those piers down to that foundation, and when they hit that rock, at that point it really doesn't matter how much the house is settled or whatever. They can take that house in the case that I was talking about, it was a big hotel, I think, and it'll jack right up to where it needs to be because it's a rock. The rock's not going to move. He's the rock that we build on. And so I want to encourage you to build on Jesus Christ today, to build on Him. Remember that word, therefore? Jesus said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, or not everybody that professes to know. How do you build on the rock? By following what He says. By living according to His word. That's how you build on the rock. There's a lot of people that name the name of Jesus that are not building on Him this morning. And so I'd like for us to get that understanding. But He's the rock that we build on. But He's also the living water that comes. He's the rock that we build on. He's the water. He's the bread from heaven. And I don't have scriptures written down here, but you can find them. There's a lot of them. He's the bread from heaven. You can find that in John 6. He is our spiritual breath. The Holy Spirit. Our life. When he comes, Jesus said, I'm going to send, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send a comforter that will come to you. That came because of Jesus. And he's even, if you want to, there's all kinds of spiritual things that he is to us. And I would argue that he is everything to you. He's everything that you need. He's our clothing. It says in Romans 13 and 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And in 2 Corinthians 5 and 2, it says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And we know that Jesus came to do that for us, didn't he? Then it says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And so we go back to the thought that I believe was in these people's mind when they said, save, Lord, we beseech thee. And when we pray to the Lord, we need to realize that if we are not clothed upon with Jesus Christ in our lives to give us the holiness, His righteousness, the power to live like He wants us to live, we're going to be found naked. You know, in a literal sense, if there are things, you don't want to go out of your house if you're not properly dressed, right? Well, I don't want to be found in a place where I don't have the Lord Jesus Christ on me as a covering, as a garment that will help me to be able to face the world and everything, the wind, the storm, all of that. He's my rock, He's my clothing, He's my bread, He's my water, everything that I need to eat, to drink, to function, to live. But Jesus said, if you don't build on me, there's no other rock you can build on. I know that's a really simple thought this morning, but people are building on all kinds of things today. They try to build on church traditions. They try to build on their own reasoning. They try to build on what everybody's going to think of me. And that's what the motivation is for what they do. Well, I better do this because if I don't, the other people at church are going to think bad of me, so I'm going to do this. Listen, there is a valid place to not offend other believers, weak believers, that kind of thing. But it doesn't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with them. I want them to go to heaven. It's not the motivation for how I'm going to live. It's not the rock that I build upon. And so if I do anything for somebody to not be offended, it's so that their soul, so that they can build on the rock too. I don't want to do anything that shakes them off of the foundation. But I want to build on the foundation. So Lord, Hosanna, save, Lord, I beseech you. Lord, come to me. Clothe me. Feed me. Save me. If I don't have you, I don't have anything. I hope and pray that this is something that will be an encouragement to you this morning. Build on the rock, because He's the only rock to build on. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.